Good morning, everybody. Could I ask you to stand with me as we pray in the presence of our Maker? In the stillness of this morning moment, Holy Father, we come before you rejoicing that you have blessed us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that we can spend time today reflecting, thinking about the wonderful way in which you have made our bodies, and also, Lord, being challenged how to live the best way so that others may see Jesus through us. Bless each one of us now here as we listen attentively, as we absorb, as we open our hearts to these important messages. We want to pray for our speaker as well, that you will bless Dr. Monson. Father, also be with those who are still on their way, that they may arrive here safely. And Lord, when it's all said and done, may we go rejoicing that you have warmed our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
I want to thank Amazing Facts for sponsoring this symposium as well as the evening program at the Lansing Center. And if you've been able to watch that, some were telling me this morning how much you were appreciating it was coming down from the downlink and having a good turnout there. I just praise the Lord for Amazing Facts with 3ABN working together along with us. Now this symposium, of course, is going to run Tuesday through Friday, and Sabbath afternoon we're going to have a large panel discussion, and I think that's going to be very, very fascinating on this whole issue of sanctification and empowering the local church. Now in the morning, we're going to be focusing on sanctification. I'll tell you why we're going to be doing that in just a moment. In the afternoon, Amazing Facts will be sharing their Empowered Church program. And I think you're going to find it to be absolutely fascinating and fantastic. I want to just give a couple of three opening remarks before I turn the time over to Dr. Munson and Vicki Griffin. And Vicki, I think I'm going to have you come up and introduce the people that are working with you this morning. So you might want to just come right on up right now, or at least to the front row. I want to go back to the morning part. I want to talk about this whole concept of sanctification for just a moment. The church today is being really, I think, assaulted both from the outside and the inside on the whole issue of sanctification. I just reread this morning parts of 1 Peter, parts of 1 John, parts of 2 Timothy, where it talks that we are to pursue holiness, that in the last days people will have a form of godliness, and but denying the power thereof. The predictions of the end of time is a predictions of Christianity in denial that justification gives birth to sanctification. And what we're having today is a lot of emphasis on justification with a basic abandonment of sanctification. Now, if you get sanctification without justification, you'll get legalism. If you get justification without sanctification, you get a lasciviousness or a church that is denying its very character. You cannot have one without the other. In this seminar, we can't afford, of course, focus on everything. But we are going to focus in the morning on sanctification. I brought along the church manual. Let me just tell you just some recent experiences this past week out of my own experience. Now, I'm talking about Seventh-day Adventist churches, and I think it's time that we're going to have to start standing up and speaking directly at this flood that's coming against this whole concept of justification and sanctification. I was talking to a pastor, not from our particular conference, but people are bringing pork to potluck. This is a Seventh-day Adventist church, bringing pork to potluck. And when he said, "I don't think this is a good thing," their response was, "You know, you need to be grace-oriented. You shouldn't be judgmental." I found that very interesting. I was with another group this week, They were talking about how they had been invited to one Adventist wedding after another that ended in a big dance. And one of these was a head elder that, and he said the president was the president of a conference, and he said, "Why are we doing this?" He says, "You know, I just can't stay by." And you know, he says, "Well, you know, you're kind of back in the dark ages. This thing is coming in like a flood from every direction, and it's because people have separated out justification and sanctification. It's almost like people believe today, like we're once saved, always saved, which is a doctrine that's unscriptural. We believe that you can lose your justification. And the way you lose your justification is to lose your sanctification. You lose your sanctification, you will lose your justification. And if you have true justification, you will have sanctification. They're two distinct things, but they cooperate like two wheels on a bicycle. One chain moves them both. And I want to go just for a moment to remind ourselves of what we believe. And this is from our own church manual, not to speak of the New Testament, where the Apostle John says, "Love not the world, love not the world." And that's what he says very clearly. And the New Testament resounds over and over and over again. This is a whole section on the standards of Christian living. Just give you some titles here: Bible study and prayer, community relationships, Sabbath keeping, reverence for the place of worship, health and temperance, dress, simplicity, reading, radio, television, recreation, entertainment, music. I just looked yesterday on the internet from another place, and they were doing some big events with their young people. And the way this is Seventh-day Adventist, the way they rewarded their young people was a big rock concert. You could see it. It was right there on the video being reported. You could see it. Social relationships, chaperonage. Well, that's something we don't talk much about anymore. I wonder what would happen. How many abortions we would avoid if we had proper Christian. How many tragedies we could avoid if we appreciated those principles. Courtship and marriage and conclusion. So anyway, there's. I want to go to the conclusion, though, and that's what I wanted to share with you just a little bit. Standing amid the perils. This is the Seventh-day Adventist Church Manual. Some of you have come in late. I'm going to ask you if you'll please move up in front of the cameras. Thanks so much. Standing amid the perils of the last days, bearing the responsibility of speedily carrying out the last offer of salvation to the world, and facing a judgment that will culminate in the establishment of universal righteousness, let us with true heart consecrate ourselves to God, body, soul, and spirit, determining to maintain the high standards of living that must characterize those who wait for the return of the Lord. That's Seventh-day Adventist Church Manual. That's what we believe as a people. So it's our hope and prayer that by God's grace, we will say some things this week that will be a blessing as we promote not only the fact that we are saved by grace alone, but that the Lord Jesus transforms our life in Himself by continuing to live out His life in His people, not only individually, but in His corporate church. Vicki Griffin, our Director of our Health and Temperance, she's going to have the lead out. And the reason we wanted to focus on this, because we wanted you to have practical steps in the whole issue of sanctification. We'll get into the theology as we go down through the week, but I think you're going to be thrilled at what you hear this morning.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, everyone. We are glad to be assembled here together. And we look forward to a great blessing today and this afternoon. I would like to introduce our first speaker this morning, Dr. Paul Musson. Dr. Musson he practices internal medicine in Flint, Michigan with his wife, who is a physician's assistant. Is that correct, Paul? Yeah. My husband met Paul. I don't want to take a lot of time, but it was a providential meeting. Dr. Musson also has his specialized training in addiction medicine, and so he is one of our major authors in the Living Free book, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. He is also, as a result of the ministry that he does in his office practice, has actually raised up a church, and it's called the Eternal Life Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so they have a body of about 50 believers that have been won and harvested just from his practice alone. So it's my privilege this morning and a great blessing to me to introduce to you Dr. Musson, who is going to talk to us about your brain on religion.
Good morning, everyone. As the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have been given the... We have been given the greatest message that was ever given to mortals since the beginning of sin. We have this message, the eternal, everlasting gospel, but we need to know how to bring it down into practical terms as it relates to the brain. The battlefield of the great controversy is the battlefield of the mind. Amen? And our understanding of the plan of salvation, as was brought out so clearly by Pastor Gallimore moments ago about justification, sanctification, and glorification, is a process. The justification is an immediate relationship with God upon repentance. Sanctification is the work of what? A lifetime. So, with God's grace, we're justified. But He expects us, by that grace, to grow until we can reach the great day of the coming of the Lord. If we could have the lights down just a little bit so that the screen can be seen a little bit more clearly. The subject of religion and neuroplasticity, salvation and the brain. Neuro means brain, and plasticity has to do with the malleability or the changeability of the brain. The objectives that I want you to get from here, if you can write them down or get the information that will be made available to you at some time in the future. The brain is a dynamic organ. It is able to what? Change. The mind is a living copy machine. It reproduces its environment. So you have to be very careful of the environment that you place yourself in and the things that you feed your mind on. The choice is yours. How many of you would like to have the mind of Christ? Save your brain, save your soul. It is not you that does the saving. I just use the statement to get your attention that if you allow God to perfect your brain, then the process of you receiving and understanding and being able to walk with God in obedience is intensified, because God made us in the beginning to be able to obey, but we lost that power at the inception of sin in the mind of Adam and of Eve. The journey, humanity is God's material image. Earth that thinks. We are made from the dust of the ground, are we not? We as Seventh-day Adventists have a belief that man is a material being and that all that we are is material. There's no external ethereal spirit that comes inside of us and that can live apart from us at death. And at the creation of man, God made this ingenious living computer called man, but we are nothing but dust. All of us are the same dust. Amen? Genesis 3:19, God tells Adam, "You are dust. I took you out of the earth. You are what you think. As a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he." Psalm 23, verse 7, the mind of Jesus, Philippians 2:5, I want the mind of Christ, Christ sealed in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit, versus the mark in the forehead, Revelation 22:4. Neuroplasticity has to do with the brain's ability to change, to be rewired, to adjust to the input of information that comes into the brain. As I am speaking to you right now, your brain, as you listen, as you integrate, as you synthesize new ideas, Your brain is creating new connections called synapses. These things are being strengthened. Your brain is expanding itself as you read information, as you learn new ideas. Your brain follows the path of the information that you are putting inside of your brain. Individuals who read a lot, individuals who study, have a spiritual antibiotic against the development, to some extent, of Alzheimer's disease. Anybody want Alzheimer's here? Start reading, studying, and continuing in your relationship with God to expand your mind. So the brain has the ability to develop new ideas, new desires, new habits, and it takes place with brain circuitry. The electrical circuitry of the brain develops as you grow in grace. Can you say amen? Neuroplasticity and religion. The adaptability of the mind-brain in knowing and growing in relationship with God, so that when you make the right choices to walk with God, to be obedient to God, the choice becomes harder or easier the next time you try to make the choice. Easier. The more you do something, the easier it becomes, it is for you to do. So when we fall into sin and we engage in sin, it becomes easier and easier for us. The good news is this. No matter where you are right now, no matter what you have done in your life, whether you be pastor or member, God is able to take your brain and to change it into the very image of His Son, so that immediately upon confession of sin and repentance, God goes to work through the Holy Spirit, going inside of your brain, and the mess that's created inside of the brain, your house, God, the Holy Spirit, begins to change that on the inside. The remnant prophet tells us about neuroplasticity, and she says, it is a law of the mind that it will narrow or what? Expand to the dimensions of the things with which it becomes familiar. That's neuroplasticity. The law of the mind, it will narrow or expand. The mental powers will surely become contracted and will lose their ability to grasp the deep meanings of the Word of God, unless they are put vigorously and persistently to the task of searching for truth. That's Review and Herald. Here we have it, right here. As we study, as we grow and develop, our brain follows the path of our choices. It is a law of the mind that it gradually adapts itself to the subjects upon which it is trained to dwell. If occupied with commonplace matters only, it will become dwarfed and enfeebled. Some of us have dwarfed and enfeebled brains. Good news again. You can heighten your brain and you can strengthen your brain once again by God's grace as the Holy Spirit moves upon your heart. If never required to grapple with difficult problems, it will after a time almost lose the power of growth, mind, character, and personality. The evangelistic applications, beliefs, and behavior can change. Now, I know that some of you have been working on your relatives for 100 years and they have not changed. But continue to be faithful to God, that God will use you to inspire them and the Holy Spirit change them. Spiritual transformation under the influence of the Holy Spirit, your brain can be changed, the renewing of your mind. The mind is not in your foot. The mind is not in your elbow. The mind is in your brain. It is the outworking of the brain. And so when the Scripture says your mind is to be renewed and you are to be transformed, it's talking about neuroplasticity and the work on the brain. Brain change essential to salvation. Pastor Gallimore moments ago talked about justification, the choice that you make by God's grace. And God declares you instantly with the righteousness of Christ. And before Him you stand innocent because Christ stands before you. Sanctification takes place as you continue, your brain changes as you continue to behold Christ, as you continue to sup on spiritual things, as you continue to study the Word, as you continue to meditate upon His goodness, the Holy Spirit changes your brain. That's sanctification. It is a culture of the mind that develops. and the character of Christ shining out in your face when we meet Him face to face. He wants to see a mirror image of Himself. How many of you want to have that mirror image? Amen. The brain is the home of the mind. The genesis of the mind. What did God do when He created the mind? Who was the model for the image of God? Anyone here? Who was the mind for the image of God? God was His own model. He made man in what? His image, in His own image, after His likeness. He was the model. He used genes, these divine codes of information, to create the brain. The brain begins to develop in the first, the very early stages of the development of the child in the mother's womb. When the brain is able to function, that is where consciousness comes from. And this is something that scientists are really trying to figure out what's going on. But God only knows. Choice is what the mind must make to choose Christ. And as we continue to choose Christ, the culture of the mind develops and you develop habits. The more you commit an act, it becomes a habit. When it becomes a habit, your brain has taken it on as a part of you. And finally, the development of character, the full image of God. This is the path that God would have us to understand so that we may know that every thought that you have has an influence on your salvation. Every idea that you inculcate into your life has an influence on the development of your brain. Whether you are developing the image of God and reflecting Christ, or whether or not you are developing the image of His nemesis to be one day united with Him in the everlasting darkness. So, God was the word model for humanity. What is human? Well, humor me for a moment, but I don't think it's just humor. I think this is some truth to this. The word humus, has to do with the earth. Man, it is theorized the word man derives from a word similar to or the same as mind. Isn't it amazing that God created man from the dust of the ground and that He created him in such a way that the very dust itself became fully grown, reflecting the image of God, and now dust can think? Thinking earth. How about that? How does dust think? By becoming a brain. And so God used a genetic code. And the genetic code is made up of different chemicals, amines. There are basically four of them. And these codes arranged together, they make flesh. They are the things that God used, this genetic code, to make the brain. DNA, the human genome. Genes make flesh, or the human brain. Because of sin, the sin that our first earth parents made, the code became defective. We are unable to obey God. It is even theorized that your behavior is in some way reflected in your genetic makeup. Genes influence behavior. Isn't it interesting where the Bible talks about, where God talks to the children of Israel in the Ten Commandments, and what does He say about iniquity? That it is visited from the fathers unto the children. Not just a fallen nature, we have a foul nature. And we want that change, don't we? The inheritance of sin, we can also become partakers of the divine nature and inherit the character of Christ through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Isn't that good news? And so, the new spiritual code comes from the Word. It is the Word that God used to create man. And it is the Word that God wants to use to recreate your brain into the image of His Son, that we may become partakers of the divine nature. So the Word of God is enfleshed in us, and we develop the mind of Christ. That's neuroplasticity. Christ, according to Galatians 4:19, is formed in us. Now, once again, we are not believers who have this ideology that there is some type of immaterial thing that inhabits us, that makes us what we are, but we are material, physical beings created in the image of God, dust that thinks, that is able to develop the character of Christ, that is able to develop the image of God as Christ is formed in us. The brain itself is changed. And Christ in us is our what? Hope of what? Glory. So the brain, the cerebrum, is flesh that makes words. As I said earlier, in similar fashion, it is not your hand. Well, some people can speak with their hands, but it is your brain that makes the words. Amen? Brain development in the womb. Genes guide neuroplasticity and the development of the mind of the child in the womb of the mother. And it's very interesting how this works. The genes are words or compounds that come together and they direct the movement of the various cells of the body. And these cells move around. The brain begins to form in the child. And as the brain develops, cells are carried along various circuitous paths, like homing devices, to find a location as to where they need to go. This is neuroplasticity in the beginning in the life of the child. Synapses are the connections between the various nerve cells. And these synapses, these bonds, can be strengthened by whatever behavior you choose to engage in. Every part of your body is mapped, as it were, in your brain. If you are a flutist or a violinist or a pianist, or you have some other particular skill, the part of your brain that has to do with that skill becomes magnified and grows. How many of you would like to have that part of your brain that deals with the plan of salvation be magnified and grow? Amen? And so the cerebral cortex, its primary area of function behind the forehead, where we know that in the end of all things, the seal of God will be imprinted in our forehead, not on our forehead, but in the citadel of the mind, the cerebral cortex, the frontal lobe, this cortex that is so different from any other created thing on this planet. It is changeable. So the Creator was the model. He was the Word. The code, these are words that make flesh. The cerebrum is flesh that makes words. The consciousness is where words come alive and where words live for most of us. Brain circuits. Don't take that personally. Brain circuits. These are thoughts that you think. The thoughts that you think are easier to think. Why? Because the brain has created a pathway for the thought that you thought. So if you keep thinking evil thoughts, the brain creates evil thought pathways. And they are easier to think. Brain change is what we have always been stating as an organization, by beholding, you become changed. So the enemy, knowing this, he tries to get our children in the womb for the mother to be beholding and doing things that destroy the development of the brain of the child so that the image of God is not effectively represented. As our children grow and they get caught up in games of killing and lust and violence and all of these things, take the video games from your children and your grandchildren, because the enemy is forming their image into his, so that when the great day of judgment comes and the time of trouble comes and difficulties come and probation closes, we will have already developed a mind that either fits the beast or Christ. And as a result, the final stamp of approval will be placed on the mind that represents Satan. It will receive the mark. And those of us who have the mind of Christ, we will receive the seal. Can you say amen? Mindsets. I'm reading a book currently thrust into my possession by one known as Vicki Griffin. She's trying to educate me and give me all this information that I may be more effective. Praise God for Vicki. The mind can grow. You have a growth mindset. Just make the effort under the guidance of the Spirit of God, and He will develop faith in you. What does the Bible have to say about neuroplasticity? Ephesians 3:16, God's Spirit does what to the inner man? Strengthens. What is the inner man? the brain, the mind, is the inner man. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks to the Corinthians and tells them that it is renewed. In Jeremiah and Hebrews, God says He will write His laws in our inward parts. Do you all agree with me that where God writes His laws is not in your foot? Where is it? In your brain. This is neuroplasticity. The mind can be renewed. It can be transformed by the washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost. So the choice that you make, you have the ability to choose. You have the ability to make a decision. Some research has shown that if an individual is engaging in a habit that is compulsive, it is obsessive, that they can speak words to themselves over and over again to command their brain, to command their mind, to move into a different direction than the deeper recesses of the mind where the obsessions are held, and they can redirect, reprogram. Now, that doesn't mean that you can speak your way into heaven. What it does mean is that through obedience, you can give the Holy Spirit a greater ability to move into your brain, into your mind, without all of the clutter, and to change you into the image of God. So the concept of speaking your salvation, of confessing your sins to God, and confessing your salvation, and thanking God, and speaking the word, and speaking the promises of God, and claiming the promises of God, all the while you are doing that, you are changing your brain. That doesn't save you from sin, but obedience doesn't save you from sin. It saves you from what? Suffering. If you are a husband who is faithful to his wife, does that save you from sin? No. But will it save you from suffering? Sure will. You won't get a black eye when you go home. If you are obedient to the Lord in keeping the Sabbath, that doesn't save you from sin, but it saves you from many of the pollutions of the world as you engage in this everlasting gospel and its understanding. So you have the power of choice to make right decisions. In overcoming addiction, which I believe Vicki may be talking about to some extent, or somewhere you will get this information, the mind is able to change. I have a class that I teach whereby individuals who come to me in my addiction medicine practice every Monday evening, last night we talked and had our session, and we went over various Bible texts, such as, well, first of all, do we know that the word heart in the Bible most often means mind, and that the word spirit, heart, and mind are used interchangeably? Well, one text, keep thy heart with all diligence, for what? Out of it are the issues of life. The mind in its three levels of function, the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious. There are some who don't believe that particular stratification of the brain, but functionally, let's entertain it for a second. You make choices in your mind, and as you make choices in your subconscious mind, your conscious mind, your subconscious mind becomes changed into the image of the choices that you make. So if you continue to make choices relevant to Christ and Him crucified, that's why we are counseled to study Christ and Him crucified. Study the cross. Study the plan of salvation. Look to Jesus for grace and mercy. Ask God to come into your heart. Through your studying, your mind will be changed. And so, when you keep your heart with all diligence, the heart before that out of it came, as Jesus said, out of the heart comes various evil things. Out of the evil treasure of the heart comes adulteries, fornications, wraths, and these types of evil things. Well, if you continue to choose God and choose His ways and walk in His ways, even when you mess up and make mistakes, don't be distracted by the enemy trying to tell you, you messed up, you can't do it, you can't be successful, he's a liar. Continue to choose God. And as you do that, God changes your brain. Can you say amen? So the subconscious culture develops. As you know, the word culture has to do with change that has developed by choices that are made by individuals or masses of individuals in groups. We have a certain culture here in the United States. There's a certain culture where I was born in the island of Bermuda. There are various cultures around the world, and individuals consider those cultures to be what's normal because for them, that's what their brain has developed as normal, and it's natural. I want to develop a culture in my mind of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. What about you? So that we're told by the remnant prophet that as you do the will of God, as you continue to walk in the ways of God, your will becomes, I should say, His will becomes your will. And so it is easier and easier for you to walk with God as you sup with Him, eat with Him, meditate and pray, until character is developed and finally sealed. In the conscious mind, you make your choices to choose Christ. That is the realm of justification. In the subconscious mind, where you are changed into the image of Christ, that is the realm of sanctification. And we will finally receive the stamp of God's character and be glorified with Him in the twinkling of an eye. So the culture of the mind is where words are written in flesh, where God's character is written. How do we do this? You want to take home with you some neuroplastic techniques, if you can, write these down. Developing a spiritual culture of the mind so that the mind of Christ, your mind, becomes akin to His. Studying with your conscious mind, focusing on the Word of God, researching the Word of God, getting deep into the theory of the Word, not just the history of the Word, but even going deeper than the theory into the relationship with God. Researching, memorizing Scripture. If you memorize Scripture, it becomes easier and easier. Studying nature, finding God in creation, which Romans chapter 1 tells us that even the atheist has no excuse that he can look at creation and know that there is a God. Supplication, prayer, meditation, allowing an intimacy between you and God, and just being able to revel in God's presence, to be able to have intimacy with Him. This allows God to change your brain. Sharing, witnessing, walking in the ways of the Lord, obedience to the health laws, which you will hear more about in this symposium. These health laws, one of the two priority health laws are trust in God and self-control. Now, you can't control yourself without trusting in God, but you can't trust in God unless you make the choice. Can you say amen? We must make the choice, and God changes our brain. And so the Holy Spirit is the final touch of changing your brain. It is the Holy Spirit living inside of you, allowing His gifts to be manifest in you. The gifts that you have are not for other people first. Who are they for first? The gifts that you have, that God has given you, His spiritual gifts, are for you first. That is why we must allow God to use us. We must execute our purpose because God gives us our purpose for the plan of salvation in our own lives. Relationship with God through the indwelling Holy Spirit. These things help to change your brain. So you can see why I entitled this message, Religion and Neuroplasticity, Salvation and the Brain, Developing the Character of God. And character is the last word. Character is the only thing that we will take where? To heaven. The character of Christ. The brain becomes the mind's choice. As we focus, as we are attentive, as we meditate, as we believe, Jesus was interfacing with an individual in the Bible, and He said, "Do you believe Me?" And they said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." In your conscious mind, you may believe, but because down in the recesses of the mind where your behavior is stored, where your memories are stored, where your experiences are stored, the unbelief is down there. And so when you say, God, help my unbelief, you're asking God to change your brain. This is neuroplasticity. As he thinks, as he believes, in his heart, which is the thing that changes your mind, so is he. This is how we can be changed into the image of God. So choose your focus and continue to choose that focus. Continue to focus on God. And as you do so, you develop faith not by just thinking, okay, I'm going to have faith now. Faith is an experience with God. It is not simply an intellectual concept. Faith and exercising it is a relationship that we have with the Master. Amen? So choose your focus and create your faith. If you choose the wrong focus, you won't develop faith, you'll develop fear, which is the opposite of where we want to go. In making the spiritual mind, obedience is a factor, but omnipotence is the key. The commandments of God, through which our obedience to God, the last final acts, the Sabbath versus the Sunday, will determine whether or not we receive the seal or the mark. Am I making myself clear about the idea that the mark of the beast happens at the end of a process? The seal of God happens at the end of a process, where you allow your brain to be changed into the image of the one who holds the mark stamp in his hand versus the one who holds the seal stamp in his hand. And when God or Satan looks and goes to and fro in the earth, seeing where they can find servants, those who will ally themselves with him, with them, whichever one they see has the character, who has been allowing that in that entity to be slowly but surely marking them with each choice, with each development of your brain neuroplastically into the image of whichever entity it is, for evil or for good. When that final moment comes, they recognize in the face of the individual where they should put the mark. And so when the choice comes, you want to be able to be standing with God as the many martyrs and prophets and faithful ones down through time. Amen? Let us be obedient under the influence of omnipotence, not rebellious, and become reprobate. Creeping compromise, indeed, has come into the church. And I suppose Pastor Gallimore would say, brother, it's not creeping anymore. It is bounding. It is jumping to and fro. But I believe that a great revival is coming in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Can you say amen? I believe that God is going to restore this church to where He wants it to be. It will march through with those of us who are faithful. So the brain is a dynamic organ. It is able to change. As you continue to focus, don't be distracted by the things of this world. Don't become entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't be distracted by your failures. Don't be distracted by your guilt and your shame. These things are things that the enemy would have laid upon you so that you will forget to stay focused on Christ and Him crucified. As long as you stay focused, the book of Romans is full of information in the first 6 or 7, 8 chapters about if we mind the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh, then the Holy Spirit will have greater access into our brains. Can you say amen? The brain is a dynamic organ. It is what you must protect. If you lose your finger, so what? If you lose your eye, so what? If you lose your brain, forget it. We don't want to lose our brains. We want those brains to be touched by the Holy Spirit of God. The mind is a living copy machine. So, if it's a living copy machine, it seems to make sense. I think I'm going to copy this word. I'm going to take this word with me everywhere I go. I'm going to study it. I'm going to develop a relationship with the author. And as I do these things, my brain is changed into the image of the brain of Christ. Can you say amen? Christ must be formed in me. I want to reproduce a spiritual environment. So the choice is yours. The choice is mine. Developing the mind of Christ. If I allow God to save my brain, I can then know that I can make my calling and election what? Sure. I can be sure. I can be confident that as I submit myself to Christ, never being confident in my growth and development, never being confident that I haven't committed certain sins anymore, never being confident that I'm not like I used to be, not bragging about how I used to be this and now I'm this, but always keeping my mind fixed by choice, staying in the realm of justification, looking at Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Spirit changes me into the image of God. And at the end, God says, I know you. I know you. Here's my seal. God bless you as you think upon these things. If they have been lovely, if they have been of good report, if there's any virtue or any praise in what has been said, go and change into the image of Christ. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.